You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone, and welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Good to have your company. Dave Kellner here in the studio, just as we were last week with Alex Dunn, to look ahead to the European fixtures this midweek. First of all, a warm welcome to the man sitting opposite me in the studio. A good morning to you, Mr. Dunn.
A good morning to you, Mr. Kellner. Are you well?
I am very well. I'm very well. I'm looking forward to this this podcast. I always enjoy speaking to you about football, and it should be a good fun midweek of action.
It's a fun stage of the season because there's a game every day, basically. And when you throw in the fact that every now and again the Premier League have a Friday night game as well, that always makes things better. There's something every single day.
Did he ask how you were? Have I done that?
Yeah, you were. Ask me again.
Did you say you were fine?
I was all right. Yeah.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad I just
checking up
for a second. I'm always concerned about your well-being.
I'm tickety boo. Don't worry about me, Dave.
Good. Got a fun tweet for you, by the way. After Liverpool beat Chelsea at the weekend, a listener called Peter Rooney got in touch. I won't go through his Twitter handle because there's lots of numbers there. It could be his telephone number.
Oh, heavens. Don't want that.
He said, Derek McGovern, in brackets, Liverpool fan. I'm not sure he is a Liverpool fan, Derek. He hates them that much. Or he seemingly hates them that much. Says he's tipped against Liverpool 16 times this year, yet to get one right. I don't know about the numbers there and if they're correct, because as you well know, I have hell on even recording the naps weekly.
You've not updated the nap since about October.
Yeah, and I had a winning nap.
Oh, wow. Well.
That's why I brought it up.
Get the flags out.
Yeah, precisely. I had a winning nap this week.
When's the open top bus parade, Dave?
That makes me smile, though. And I text Derek saying that, with the screenshot of that tweet.
Yes.
And he just sent me back middle finger emoji.
Oh, nice.
Numerous middle finger emojis.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I think it's mainly because Liverpool don't lose. That's the issue.
Oh, I think that's the problem with tipping against them, isn't it?
Yeah, like they occasionally draw, but they're so hard to actually beat. Well, we'll have more on them later anyway.
We will. Let's talk about Manchester United first up. They are travelling to the... Do you call it the Camp Nou or the New Camp? It was always the New Camp when I was younger.
The New Camp.
But it's turned to the Camp Nou, then the Camp Now. I'm going to go with New Camp.
That'll do.
Yeah. 4-11 Barca to win the game. The draw 17-4. Manchester United 7-1. They're actually loads of enhanced odds. A couple of trending your odds as well on the William Hill website and on the app. I'll spin you through a couple of these enhancements that could be of interest. Lionel Messi to score two or more in the match was 12-5. That's been enhanced to 11-4. Manchester United to score in both halves was 5-1. That's now 13-2 if you fancy United to come back from their one-goal deficit. Luke Shaw with the own goal, the only goal in the first leg at Old Trafford. Manchester United failed to register a shot on target in the game. And I think it said a lot about the way that game materialised that people were hailing Scott McTominay as the second coming after the 90 minutes, rather than talking about the likes of Marcus Rashford or Paul Pogba, who were pretty poor.
It's a sorry state of affairs, isn't it, when your key man against a team like Barcelona is a player who cannot get into Scotland's side. And that's Scott McTominay for you.
Yeah,
We did
say on last week's podcast, was it last week's podcast, or we talked about in the office how Alex McLeish just got that one badly wrong.
Yeah. He's a useful player, but he shouldn't be Man U's team, really.
No.
In my opinion.
But I think he is an improving player, yeah. Scott McTominay.
I wouldn't rule him out just yet forever.
This is less about Scott McTominay than it is about... it's a sad indictment of the way Manchester United played in that first leg, because Barcelona were there for the taking, as far as I was concerned. Lionel Messi's clearly got a few physical issues at the moment, I think. Guillaume Balaguer's talked about that, how he might require surgery in the summer, and he's putting that off so he's still able to play... make sure they win another La Liga title and they progress in the Champions League as well. But he was off his game and he got a slap round the chops as well.
Doesn't that one, Chris Smalling? Chris Smalling's messing your face up, doesn't he?
He said he felt like he was hit by a truck after that. There you go. But Barcelona are going to win this because Manchester United... another tweet that made me laugh at the weekend. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer still refusing to park in the manager's spot.
Yeah, what's
because
that
he says
about?
That is Alex Ferguson's spot, which is, listen, you're leading one of the shining or supposedly shining lights of European football, and you won't park there because of a manager that's been gone for a decade. He's not the man for the job, and I've said this until I'm blue in the face. I can only assume Mauricio Pochettino was not available to Manchester United, because to give him that job after a few weeks or a couple of months is a dereliction of duty, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they have. They might have just gone a bit early.
I think they have.
They let's make no bones about it. When he came in, he did a fantastic job. He did. He rejuvenated a unhappy squad.
Just because the Mourinho fog had been lifted.
Yeah, but he did it.
He did it.
So fair play.
And they got the good result against Paris Saint-Germain.
But you go back now, since they came back against PSG. That's it. Since then, they have lost to Arsenal, lost to Wolves in the FA Cup, beat Watford 2-1, but Watford played well on that occasion. It wasn't a walk in the park. Lost at Wolves in the league, lost against Barca, and they beat West Ham at the weekend, but were very fortunate to do so. They had refereeing decisions on their sides. They were outplayed for large portions of that game as well.
Yeah, I watched that match and they were second best.
Yeah, so it's not the most encouraging prep. I backed Man U to win the whole thing before, when they got out the group, when I saw they'd got PSG. But I don't have any optimism for that anymore. Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? The whole atmosphere around the place just is a little... Oh, hang on. Have we done the right thing here?
Yeah.
But look, they'll go to Barca, they'll give it a go. They'll look to do exactly what they did at PSG. But PSG was so complacent, it was ridiculous. Barca will not be that complacent at all. I think Barca are now unbeaten in 30 at home in the Champions League.
That's correct.
Which is... astonishing.
It is astonishing.
127, drawn 3. And that would be enough to get them through here. They're actually a fair price to win, I'd probably say. But I do think you could give both teams a goal at least. So anything that you're factoring in here, expect plenty of goals. Because Man U have to give it a go. And I can see them scoring because Barca defensively aren't all that. But to go through is a big ask. What I would say is Barca have a fantastic habit of late goals. And they've managed to keep that going through the course of the season, actually, this year. But in the minute markets here, you can back a goal 80th minute to full time at even money.
I saw that. That's interesting, isn't it?
It's not bad, that. Barca scored after the 80th minute now in the last four competitive home games.
And I thought that they might score early in this game as well, Barcelona. The opener has been scored within the first 20 minutes of three of United's last four Champions League games as well. So first Barcelona goal up to and including the 15th minute is available at 13-5 in the goals markets as well. So I thought that was maybe an interesting bet here. But I think Barcelona will win this game convincingly. And I'm just looking at the handicap market here. Barcelona -1 in the match is available at 10-11, which I think is if you're looking for something to load up on,
yeah,
at around about even money, that's good for me.
Yeah, it's not bad. I hope Man U can go there and get something, but that's all it is, I think.
Rather than expectation.
Yeah, I'll take Barcelona and both teams to score.
I think the Barca and both teams to score is 8-5.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
I think the other game on Tuesday night's more interesting. It's Juventus versus Ajax. Juventus 4-6, the draw 14-5, Ajax 17-4. Enhanced odds, Cristiano Ronaldo, who scored in the first leg in that 1-1 draw in the Johan Cruyff Arena, for him to score and Juventus to win was 5-4. That's been enhanced to 6-4. If you think Juventus are going to win both halves, that was 18-5. That's now 9-2. You've got Ajax to score in both halves, 9-2 out to 6-1, and Dusan Tadic to score and Ajax to win was 7-1. That's been enhanced to 10-1. Ajax were outstanding in that first leg. They are such a vibrant young team to watch. Play with lots of energy, lots of creativity, and I think they surprised Juventus with their endeavour in that first leg. Whether they can go to Italy and reproduce that is open to debate, I suppose. But these prices are heavily skewed in Juventus' favour, and I'm not sure that's right.
I disagree.
Do you? Do you think Juventus are a good bet then here at 4-6?
I think Juve to qualify is a good bet at 3s on.
Okay.
I think that's lovely.
Oh, I really don't think that's a good bet.
Okay. Well, let's agree to disagree, Dave.
They are aiming to make these three semi-final appearances in the last 5 seasons, Juventus, and they have that away goal as well. And we know that they, despite losing to Spal at the weekend, are it's only a matter of time before they are confirmed as Serie A champions as well.
Serie A done and dusted, and they actually, interesting, if you watch betting markets, they more than doubled in price prior to the game against Spal, based on team news and the fact that really they weren't bothered, I think is the main thing. They actually went off odds against in that game, so no surprise that they did lose. Look, I like Ajax, but Ajax are not going to win the Champions League. They are not going to, well, in my opinion, they're not going to get to the semis either, Dave. They're a good side. They are full of attacking, bright young players. We mentioned a few of them on last week's podcast. They're good. Actually, we had a tweet from Phil who was saying that Frankie de Jong's already got his move to Barca.
Yes.
Whether, I don't think I mentioned he'd got the move. I think I said he's got a move coming, or he's got, I can't remember the exact phrasing of it. Let's face it, Dave, we were both still pretty hungover last Monday.
You definitely, yeah.
So
we did well to make it through that podcast.
To be fair, Phil, the fact that...
Never mind the listeners making
it through. What was coming out of our mouth was English was, I think, testament to the fun we had on Saturday. he has got the move to Barca. The issue is that while Juve were resting players against Spal, Ajax were playing Excelsior. They won 6-2. Great. Frankie de Jong came off injured with a hamstring problem.
Okay.
He'd have to be a major doubt for this, which is an issue because he was excellent in the first leg, despite the fact he wasn't fully fit anyway.
Yeah.
That is an issue. Look, I just think Juve are the bet here. They've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. You've got a side who were favourites anyway to qualify, who have gone away, avoided defeat, and got an away goal.
Okay.
What's not to like about that, Dave?
5 goals and 2 assists for Cristiano Ronaldo in Juventus's last 7 Champions League goals, so obviously he is the key man. Mm-hmm. For Ronaldo to score first in the match. I think it was 3-1 in the first leg. Obviously, Juventus at home, so it's slightly shorter at 12-5. But Moise Kean is the man that has been lighting up Serie A in the latter stages of the season, and maybe shouldering a bit of that burden, given that Ronaldo maybe not peak physical fitness. And Moise Kean to score first is 4-1. He's scored in his last 4 in Serie A now, breaking that record held by Mario Balotelli as the teenager with the most successive goals scored in matches in Serie A history. Moise Kean to score first is 4-1. Hit the post in the first leg. 5-4 to score anytime. He is so exciting. He runs at players. He's direct. He's strong, powerful, quick thinker. And that was a wonderful effort in the first leg that struck the inside of the post. Unfortunately for him, didn't go in. But he's on a fine goal scoring run at the moment. I thought 4-1 was interesting for him to score first.
It's interesting. It wouldn't be for me, to be honest, and I think the anytime price is a little skinny as well. But there's no doubt he's got talent, and it'll be interesting to see what he does over the coming months and years, I suppose.
Yep.
But it'd be interesting if this time next year we're still talking about him as being a proper player. Because you do get players who you know, you get excited by, and then they don't go on to fulfil that potential. I'd hope that he does, because he is a talent. No, for me, I'm keeping it simple. Juve 4-6 is great. Juve 3-0 is better, because you've also got a 0-0 draw on your side there.
I'm looking forward to clipping this up when Ajax qualify.
Will you clip it up when they don't?
No.
Okay.
You get no credit for a 1-3 shot landing on this podcast.
No, that is true. Look, it's not going to make you rich, but I think if you're having an acca, put the 3-0 shot in there. And let's face it, how often would you put Juve at 3-0 in the league to win?
A lot of punters might have an accumulator over the Champions League matches perhaps to qualify.
And you're getting Juve to qualify at around the same price as you're getting Barca to win. And I'm quite happy with that.
You're not getting a good price on Liverpool to qualify.
No.
They are 1-33 to qualify for the semi-finals. Porto are 11-1. Porto are 13-5 to win this game. The draw 12-5. Liverpool a shade of odds against at 11-10. Enhancements, Mohamed Salah to score along with Sadio Mane was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 7-1. If you think Liverpool are going to win both halves, it was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 13-2. They started quickly at Anfield in the first leg, were 2-0 up inside the opening half hour and won the game 2-0. And they beat Chelsea by the same scoreline as well. That was a fantastic 3 points for Liverpool to pick up, because Chelsea were at it from the get-go in that game, Alex, and Liverpool did well to stifle them. And then we had that one moment of absolute brilliance for Mohamed Salah.
I don't want to disagree with you again, Dave, but I'm going to... Chelsea weren't up to it.
Did you not think so?
I cannot.
I think they were good the opening 30 minutes.
I cannot have Hazard as the striker. It just doesn't work. It's so frustrating that it keeps happening, because it just doesn't. You've got to have a main man in there. Higuain has not pulled up trees since he's been there.
You're not kidding.
Giroud is what he is. But Giroud's so good at linking play and getting... Hazard would be twice as dangerous with him in the side. It just baffles me that they can't accommodate. You've got a great player and you're asking him... There was one moment in the first half when he went on a lovely run, Hazard, and then he ended up in the position he should have been in, passed it to Willian, 3 yards away, who looked up and went, oh, there's no one in the box now, is there?
Yeah.
Because Hudson-Odoi doesn't know what to do yet, position-wise, he's not attacking the box. It baffled me. I think that played into Liverpool's hands. It's no surprise that Chelsea were at their most dangerous when they actually bought a striker on. By that time, they were 2-0 down, though, so a little bit too late. But no, Liverpool...
Were you impressed with Liverpool?
I was, actually. And that's the first time that I have been impressed with them for a few weeks now, because they have been limping past opponents rather than battering them.
Yeah.
That said, their record's just phenomenal. The last time they dropped points was the Merseyside derby. That was a 0-0 draw. The time before that, I think, was the Man U game. 0-0 draw. That's fine. It's the hallmark of champions, if you like. Look, this game is not going to define their season, because they shouldn't slip up. If they score, they are guaranteed to go through.
Yeah.
And that's the bet I like. Both teams to score is 8-11 here. And I think that's all right. Porto are going to have to go for it a little bit more. We mentioned Marega was a threat in the first game, and he was.
Yeah.
Or we said he was going to be in the first game, and he was. And expect him to cause problems again. If Liverpool had to keep a clean sheet here, I think they could. If it was, say, 1-0 from the first leg and they wanted to sit deep, I think they could probably shut them out. But I think Klopp will say, just go get an early goal and then we can relax. Because they're not going to lose 4-1, are they?
Moussa Marega to score any time available at 21-10. I must admit, I find that Liverpool price quite appealing, actually, at odds against 11-10. I know they don't need to win the game, and Derek McGovern would be chastising me for suggesting that's a bet, given they don't need to win. But 11-10 Liverpool, who outclassed Porto in the first leg and probably will do the same in the second leg, is appealing to me.
It's a nice luxury to have, that Liverpool, if they wanted to, could rest and rotate here in a Champions League quarter final. I don't think they will. I think you may see a couple of changes from the weekend, but nothing groundbreaking. I know what you're saying about the Liverpool price at 11-10. It wouldn't quite be for me. As you said, they don't have to win, but I just cannot see Porto doing enough to trouble them. I think Liverpool will score, basically, and that is enough for them to go through.
The most intriguing of the quarter-final encounters comes at the Etihad on Wednesday night, 8 p.m. kickoff, Manchester City versus Spurs. City 100-30 on to win in 90 minutes, the draw 9-2, Spurs 9-1. The qualification odds, Manchester City 4-7 to qualify, Spurs are 5-4. Loads of enhancements. Manchester City to win 3-0, 3-1 or 3-2 was 11-4. That's been enhanced to 7-2. Tottenham to score in both halves was 11-2. That's been boosted out to 7-1. Pep Guardiola's team selection for the first leg continues to baffle me. And he's been accused of being an overthinker in Champions League matches when he was manager of Barcelona and since his move to Manchester as well. And I'm not sure what's happened to Leroy Sané and whether his relationship with Leroy Sané has deteriorated in the last couple of months, but he's barely started a game and he went with Riyad Mahrez, who was abject in the first leg. And I will be fascinated to see the team he selects given they are 1-0 down.
Yeah, and they're coming off the back of a win at Palace where they went pretty much all out, if you like, with Sané, Sterling, Aguero, who I think most people would say is the favoured front three, but it hasn't been this season, has it?
No, it's not.
It's the one, if I was an opposition player, I'd least like to play against would be those three.
I just wonder whether he wants Sané to work harder. I think that's probably the crux of the matter.
It probably is.
And then he brought De Bruyne on with a minute left in the match.
Yeah.
It was bizarre all round. It was mentioned on Twitter by a number of Manchester City fans, and the comeback was, listen, Pep Guardiola knows better than you do, which is fine. Yeah, but this is sport.
Mm.
You've got an opinion, voice that opinion. You can be right, you can be wrong. It doesn't mean you can't disagree with a manager just because he's won everything under the sun.
No, agreed. I would say, though, that this season, quite a few City players have, I don't want to say underperformed, because they haven't, but they haven't been as good as they were last season. So De Bruyne, for example, not his fault, he's been injured for a lot of it,
yeah,
but hasn't been as good as he was last season, because last season he looked like a world beater. David Silva hasn't been quite as good this season as he was last season. Neither has Gabriel Jesus. No, there's Leroy Sané. Riyad Mahrez has failed to do what they wanted him to do in coming in. Kyle Walker hasn't been as good this season as he was last year.
Mm.
So you're left with a team that is... It's not being carried by these players by any means, because the players I've just named are still playing well.
Yeah.
But you've got a core of the team, Edison, Laporte, Aguero and Sterling. They're the players that have stepped up this season and been very, very, very good.
Yes.
The team is going to be fascinating here because, of course, they've got this game. They've got Spurs again at the weekend in the league, and then they've got the Manchester derby next midweek. Well, I'd be very surprised if Sterling and Aguero start all three of those. Aguero's just come back from a little back problem. He likes to rotate his wingers. So which game do you rest Raheem Sterling for?
It's incredibly difficult, isn't it? It's a balancing act.
Pride aside,
Guardiola.
Take the Manchester derby out of it and just say it's a game against a potential top four side.
Yes.
That's still massive.
Yeah.
It's a real thinker. Which of those games do you want to start Riyad Mahrez in?
I think he's got to go with his full strength side, or what he deems his full strength side, for this game against Spurs, doesn't he?
Because This one.
And then if you have the luxury of going 3-0 up in this match, maybe he can tinker in the last 20 minutes. Same question to you, because it is fascinating.
What was the question I asked it, but
the question you asked was, which game does he rest Raheem Sterling in, or Sergio Aguero in, or those are the two, really, aren't they?
I don't know. I was thinking this last night.
Do they need resting? Aguero does. I don't think Aguero can play.
He might play
four games.
He could probably start
days.
All three, but he'd last till the hour in all three of them. And I think you'd rather have him full pelt for two games than half-hearted for three. Look, this is why we're not managers, Dave. But it is difficult. It's a situation that, on the one hand, is enviable because they're great players that he's got to rotate. It's not like he's bringing in kids, you know. I don't know what he's going to do. And I hope he does.
Okay, even with the whatever team he selects, can they stop Spurs from scoring? Well, will they qualify?
That's the issue for me. I think Spurs are the wrong price to qualify. I think they're really big at 5-4.
I agree.
I think I'd be forced to back them based on price alone.
Yeah.
If you said, Alex, what do you think will happen in this game? Well, to start, I would say I think Spurs will score. So all of a sudden there, City need to score 3 to qualify. That 4-7 on City is looking skinny to qualify.
Yeah, yeah. The negative for Spurs is, of course, they lost Harry Kane in that first leg. He tried to... I thought he went into that challenge with Fabian Delph aggressively and came out worst. I didn't think Fabian Delph did anything untoward in that challenge.
Not in the challenge. He shouted him afterwards.
Yeah.
But that's if someone's going to try and... I think it
was Kane that went to do Delph rather than the other way around.
I think I agree with you, Dave, for the first time on the podcast. But at the same time, Son Heung-min was rested at the weekend, or he came on for the last 5 minutes. Lucas Moura's in form now, I suppose. He's got a hat-trick against Huddersfield. That's, you know, you could do that probably, but nevertheless, he's got it.
I think those players, Son Heung-min and Lucas Moura, they seem to revel in the limelight when Harry Kane's absent.
They do, and Dele Alli's broken his hand. Whether he can play or not at the minute is open to question. Christian Eriksen will probably be in there. It's one of those games that you're sort of thinking, because Spurs will line up so differently to, not how we're used to, but how they normally would, with if they have Son and Moura, well, there's some fluidity that Man City won't enjoy. Because who marks them then? Is it the fullbacks that Pep likes to have bombing on or tucking in? Because what if Lucas Moura is playing in sort of a 10 position, but there's no one ahead of him? Who comes out then? Then what if Son runs in behind? They can cause problems here. I think they score anyway. So by default, really, you have to take Spurs to qualify at 5-4.
I think that's a good price.
And I think rather than backing City to qualify at 4-7, you're probably better off backing them minus a goal at 3-4 if you think City are going to go through. You could have 3-1 on your side there, I suppose. But as far as I'm concerned, that is the standout bet for me, is Spurs to qualify. And it's not something I'm mad keen on. And to think about it, to think, could Spurs knock Man City out of the Champions League? Well, I'd say I'd probably not. You know, on when you actually think about the two sides and who's playing. But that first leg result, the fact that City didn't score at Spurs, I think will come back to haunt them. So I think we could see City winning this 2-1 and going out on away goals. Would you clip that up if that comes true?
What was the bet?
2-1. Correct score bet.
City.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, you are better backing City minus one because it's a bigger price and it's the same bet.
By the way, 2-1 is 15-2.
2-1, 15-2.
But Spurs to qualify 5-4 is...
the main bet.
The main bet in this. It has to be.
Okay, we've done the four Champions League matches. Let's just have a quick minute on the two Europa League clashes. Napoli versus Arsenal. Napoli 3-4. The draw 3-1 Arsenal. A 16-5. Arsenal won the first leg 2-0. Very impressive performance at home. We're recording this before their clash at Vicarage Road against Watford. Arsenal 1-6 to qualify. Napoli 7-2. I wasn't in the least bit surprised that Arsenal beat Napoli. Napoli, I think, are pretty average. And Arsenal probably won't go to Napoli and win because they very rarely win away from home.
Yeah.
But I think that they should qualify.
Yeah. We said in the previous piece that, you know, you sometimes get led onto a price by default, in effect. Well, do I think Arsenal can go here and score? Yes. But do I also think Napoli to qualify is the worst price, 7-2? I think Napoli to qualify 7-2 is tempting enough to have a couple of quid on. But
yeah,
not,
it's just one of those where if Arsenal score,
Arsenal probably will score, and then all of a sudden they need four. But again, would you be surprised, given Arsenal's defence, were they to let in four or even five here? Would you be shocked?
4-1 to Napoli is 25-1.
Let's say you didn't watch the game, you were out, I don't know, on a date, Dave. Whatever it is that you do on your spare time. No one really knows, listeners. What if you got in and you flicked on teletext, because you're living in the 90s.
I saw someone had tweeted yesterday that was about the golf. They went down to their grandma's and she was watching it on teletext.
I think it was on BBC, wasn't it?
Fantastic.
Some people would
rather watch text than live sport.
I don't mind.
You like watching text, don't you?
I like following things rather than watching them sometimes. Yeah, not all the time.
A lot of the time you'll follow the minute-by-minute commentary on William Hill's website,
rather than watch a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Anyway, if you were to flick on teletext and see 4-1 Napoli, you wouldn't go, oh my goodness.
No, you wouldn't.
You'd go, well, Arsenal fell apart again. It happens, doesn't it? That's the thing. So for that reason, I do think that 7-2 is a little tempting. But the 8-15 it is for both teams to score is a little short, but it's okay. I just think you'll see loads of goals in this.
Napoli to win and both teams to score 2-1.
Yeah, that's probably the way to go. Because I think Arsenal will do enough to not bomb out, but I think they will... Here's a prediction. You can't bet on this, but here's a prediction. For Arsenal, hashtag your odds, Arsenal to look like crumbling at one point, but just about see it through. I can see this ending 2-3-1 to Napoli, but that'll be enough for Arsenal.
Fair enough. Chelsea versus Slavia Prague. This one, pretty much done and dusted. Slavia Prague were beaten 1-0 at home against Chelsea, and they had the Prague derby at the weekend, drew that game 1-1 at home against Sparta. Chelsea, of course, come into this on the back of that 2-0 defeat to Anfield. Not really a disgrace in that. Chelsea 32-100 to win the match. The draw 4-1 Slavia Prague 17-2. This might be is Chelsea's best route, do you think, into the Champions League next season? They look like they're going to go through to the semi-finals. So,
well, when you look at who's likely to join them, you'd fancy Chelsea to beat everybody else, basically. You'd fancy Chelsea to beat Arsenal. You'd fancy Chelsea to beat Benfica. You'd fancy Chelsea to beat Valencia, Villarreal, probably.
Yeah.
They'd be the rightful favourites.
Arsenal-Chelsea would be,
interesting. Yeah. I am a big fan of... I was going to say of what Sarri's doing. I'm not at all. That's completely wrong. But I'm a big fan of the fact he's finally come round to playing Loftus-Cheek and Hudson-Odoi, who aren't world beaters, but they're good players, and they are better than playing Kovacic and Pedro, in my opinion, and for the future of their careers and the club's career.
Ruben Loftus-Cheek is overrated, though, isn't he?
No. No, you're overrated, Dave. Ruben Loftus-Cheek's a good footballer.
But people talk about him being a future, not just England international, but a stalwart in that England setup. I'm not buying that.
I think they'd be correct.
No, I think they'd be wrong.
Well, I think you're wrong.
We'll find out in a few years, won't we? I suppose.
Well, clip this up for 2 years.
Yeah, we'll clip this up for 2 years.
I think he's really good. Okay. I really do, and I think if you give him an extended run in the team, which he's just beginning to get. I think he can only benefit from playing with good players, which is what he's doing now. I think he's good. I don't think he's the saviour. I don't think he's world class, but he's better than Kovacic, in my opinion. He's better than Barkley. Barkley's playing for England. Why isn't Loftus-Cheek? Anyway, best bet of the week.
In this game?
Yeah.
Is it Chelsea to win 2-0?
Correct. What price? You've not seen the prices.
I've not seen the prices.
I was surprised.
Chelsea 32-100. I'd say around about evens-ish.
10 to 11, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's good. I thought it'd be shorter.
Yeah.
I just don't think they'll let a goal in here.
No, I agree with you.
And the beauty that of Chelsea's rotation through the course of this campaign is that they've mixed and matched up front and in midfield. The defence, even if they rotate, they've got good defenders to come in. The likes of Christensen came on against Liverpool and he didn't have his best game, but he's for the Europa League against, you know, against Slavia Prague. That's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. Yeah, Winter nil 10 to 11 is... It will happen.
I think the... do you want my best bet?
Mm.
I reckon there's going to be lots of a lot more action in that Juventus-Ajax match than people anticipate. I think over 2.5 goals will land.
Okay.
And I've been so impressed with this Moise Kean that I'd have to go with him to score first in the match, because that anytime price may be a little bit too short, but 4-1 for him to score first, I think he might do that.
Can you put together a little bet for me, please?
Yes.
Because you have access to the computer and I don't.
Yeah.
I would like Juve to qualify. Threes on. Okay?
Okay.
This is leg one.
Yes.
We'll have Chelsea to Winter nil. That's 10 to 11. That's going to be hard for you to find. You're going to have to do some scrolling.
No, that's fine. But, I've got that.
I'd like that in.
Yeah.
And Spurs to qualify as well at 5-4. They're the probably the three strongest bets. I know that they're a mixture of prices.
Just under 5-1.
I think that's a lovely treble. Okay. And it'll give you interest through the week.
It will. Thank you, Alex Dunn.
Thank you, Dave Kellner. Thank you, listeners, for bearing with us.
Do you think they well, they obviously have.
If you're listening to this bit, you're in an exclusive club.
You are, of like two people.
Yeah.
Maximum. Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the podcast. Hopefully, we've pinpointed some good bets. And if we've not, you can check out all the odds yourself on the William Hill website at sports.williamhill.com and on the app as well. And I'll be speaking to David McGovern at the weekend, and we'll probably talk more about Mo Salah and how he's still overrated. So looking forward to that. Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened, and we'll speak again on Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.